Would you please pray with me? Dear God, open our hearts to hear your story anew again today. Remind us that our story is wrapped in your story. This Advent, help us to wait with patience, expect the unexpected, and trust that you are with us wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Has anyone here heard of the Drosta effect? It's named after the Drosta Cocoa Company in Holland in the early 1900s, whose box of cocoa shows a nun offering a cocoa serving tray with a cup of hot cocoa and a box of that Drosta cocoa next to it. And it just keeps on continuing, the picture, because this nun is in the Drosta cocoa box. It's called the Drosta effect because it's a picture within a picture that goes on forever and ever and ever. Minnesotans might know this by the old Land O'Lakes butter containers. You know, you see the lady that's holding a butter container in the butter container. You get it. But today's gospel story of Zechariah and the temple shows us the same effect. Captured centuries before, repeating images and stories while holding the master story at the heart. Zechariah is a priest. He's chosen to be in the temple for a very special once-in-a-lifetime experience. And the story is told with motifs from the Old Testament that early followers of Jesus would have known. There's a casting of lots, there's a vision in the temple, there's a heavenly messenger, there's promise, there's a sign, it's a childless older couple. Granted, Zechariah himself, Zechariah is preceding Jesus, but the writing of this happened after Jesus. So everybody would know that this is a continuation of the Old Testament story. If you listen closely, you'll see these themes continue throughout the gospel stories this Advent. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and every Advent we hear central stories of the Christian faith leading up to Christ's birth. Stories matter. They give us hope. They give us comfort when we're grieving. They help us make big choices in life. They pass values on to the next generation. I remember teaching confirmation at my last church and giving them a multiple choice question quiz for an exercise in class, and one of the answers was Mother Teresa. And one of my eighth grade students sort of sheepishly raised his hand and asked, Pastor Becca, who's Mother Teresa? And I asked the whole class, has anyone heard of Mother Teresa? Not a soul raised their hand. None of these eighth graders knew about this generational icon of faith and service because she had died in 1996, and they had all been born after the year 2000. Somehow her story had not been carried into the next century. On the other hand, when stories become too familiar, we can forget how powerful they are. I love the story of the young boy who was practicing his lines for the upcoming Christmas pageant when he said to his mom, Mom, can't we change the story this time? It's the same story every year. To which his mom said, yes, it is the same story every year, but it's what our lives of faith depend on. Every time we do a baptism, we remind the one who is being baptized that God is making an everlasting promise with the child, a promise that reminds them that they are a child of God, that they are loved, that they are not alone. It's a one-time occasion when we baptize, but it's an everyday occasion for all of us who are here, believers in Jesus, to remind one another of that promise. And that's what today's gospel gets at as well. In a world where it's so easy to forget our story amidst the seemingly urgent and loud voices among us, Advent reminds us to wait. It reminds us to expect the unexpected. It reminds us to trust that our lives are bigger than our own. Henry Nouwen used to say 98% of our lives are spent waiting, from the time we spend in traffic jams to the time we wait for something to end. Perhaps you're thinking that right now. But beneath this day in and day out surface waiting, there is an even deeper ache and longing. St. Augustine says, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee, O God. And that's what Zechariah shows us so clearly today. A devout, revered, upstanding religious priest, he is at the heart of the temple, burning incense and focused so intently on God when an angel of the Lord appears and he becomes terrified. Not only is he terrified, he disbelieves what the angel tells him, because the angel says that God will grant he and Elizabeth a child in their old age. Zechariah becomes an emblem for all of us in those places when the circumstances are actually all coming in just the right place and time for meeting God, but we still have a hard time believing. It's like the young seminary student who approached the great theologian Paul Tillich, who had just lectured on the authority of Scripture, and the student was clutching in his hand a big black leather-bound Bible, and he said to the professor Tillich, "Do you believe this is the word of God?" as he gripped that book. And Tillich looked at the student whose fingers were so tightly clenched, and he said, "Not if you think you can grasp it. Only when the Bible grasps you." There is an over-familiarity with the things that are so holy in our lives when we come to church every week, I think, which ironically can make us numb to the truly holy things in our lives. But God just keeps working with us and for us, putting people and angels into our lives to remind us of the promise that keeps God's story alive. A professor of mine at the seminary, who also happened to be a pastor, told us about his adult daughter who had been raised in the church. As she grew older, she admitted to her father that it was harder for her to say the Apostles' Creed with the same conviction or authority that she once said it. And her wise dad said, "That's okay. Because when you come to church and can't say the creed, there is a whole host of people surrounding you who will say it for you. You're in good company. Even the holiest of holies, like today, had a hard time believing sometimes, like Zechariah. But he had a whole host of priests outside praying for him. Just like Pastor Callen tells anyone who is new to Mount Olivet, just like he said to me on my first day, you have hundreds of people praying for you. Our lives of faith are not our own. They are wrapped in a story so much bigger. God uses us to keep sharing God's story. For that is how God's love is fully known. When my dad died 5 years ago, so many people said to our family, "And now you carry on where he left off." And of course, that can feel like pressure, or it can feel like gift, because carrying someone's story can feel daunting until you realize that the story is not yours to carry. It's God's story being carried through you. And when you realize God's always at work in places you expect, in places you least expect, you learn to trust that anything is possible, for it is in these places that the treasure of Christ Jesus is found. This Savior who came to be one of us, to live as one of us, to die as one of us, and be raised as one of us, so that we would forever be part of this grand story. Thanks be to God. Amen.